This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Our world has changed mightily, and tensions are growing among many nations. Much of this is due to the United States becoming more nationalistic and determined to rebuild its arsenal of weapons and military defenses. President Trump of the United States is now talking about a Space Force to enhance the Air Force. Reason being, many military operatives now believe outer space is the next frontier for controlling future battles on the ground. Nations in the Middle East like Iran and Turkey, Palestine and Syria all contribute to the violent global ambience that's emerged and which threatens the lives of millions due to war and terrorism. Additionally, the cultures like Europe, including Germany and the United Kingdom, are being impacted by uncontrolled mass migrations from the Middle East and Northern Africa. Even the doomsday clock has been moved from 2.5 minutes to 2 minutes till midnight. Illustrating again, in the opinion of the Board of Scientists who determined this change, well, they've concluded, we're increasing the dangers of another world war by means of these perceived tensions, which are increasing all around us. So, where are these circumstances leading us? Could we be heading for World War III? Well, stay with us as we explore these conditions and concerns facing us today.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, we're living in some unparalleled times of confusion, violence, and surrounded by an awful lot of danger. We're told about this over and over again through voluminous news articles and stories on networks or in publications every day of our lives. And in so many ways, my friends, this basically causes many of us to be informed, of course, but in some cases, and I'm sad to say, disinformed as well. And this generates a lot of questions, naturally, that causes a lot of people to hypothesize and to develop theories and perhaps even speculate about certain narratives and stories that they believe are happening throughout the world and embedded in certain events that take up a lot of time and preoccupy the attention of a lot of people. And a lot of this is being driven simply because of what we are recognizing as a new nationalistic movement emerging up onto the world scene and in conflict with and competing in an agenda against what the globalists have been trying to develop for the last 30, 40, 50 years with their socialistic and Marxist programs. I mean, even in the European Union today, there's a handful of nations exploring the possibilities of being able to cut the tether and disconnect themselves from the European Union. Nations like Italy, Sweden, nations like the Netherlands and Spain, all exploring the possibility of how they can exist or coexist outside of the European Union. And they're coming up with some kind of cute names too, like Swexit and Ixit and Nexit, all kind of takeoffs from the term Brexit that England or the United Kingdom was using in their departure from the European Union. Well, I want to talk a little bit about this tension and these stresses that are developing onto the world scene today from this conflict of the globalists competing and conflicting with the nationalists, But before I do, I want to interrupt myself to present to you our free offers today. We have two of them that we want to present to you, and one of them is very interesting. It's the flagship publication of the Church of God International. Subscription, a quarterly three-month subscription, comes out four times a year, filled with a whole lot of items, a variety of different subjects that cover everything from doctrine to Christian living to points of interest of history and different things that are going on all over the world that I know you're going to find very, very interesting, as well as lives of certain church people that are in the Church of God International and of which have certain experiences that they share in the newspaper, and consequently the paper publishes these things for your interest and opportunity to enjoy and share in the experiences of these people and or congregations that are scattered all over the world and associated with the Church of God International. In addition, we have a one-hour presentation given before a live audience that is titled Amos, an Ancient Messenger for North America. That's right. 1 hour presentation that is going to go into much more detail than what I've been able to do today, because I'm only going to scratch the surface. You've got to get this 1 hour presentation to fill in some of the blanks. It'll enhance the topic and provide you with some insight that I'm not going to be able to cover in this short amount of time that I have available. So hit us on our website at www.cgi.org or that 888 number there you see displayed. And don't forget, by the way, that feature of webcasting. Every Saturday we have in real time a live presentation presented by an individual at particular locations where we're webcasting from for your enjoyment and educational value in speaking on some subject regarding the Bible or some current event that might be going on. So go ahead and hit us on that website, as I mentioned, www.cgi.org or that 888-578 number, 8791. And don't forget, get these two free offers. And again, I emphasize that they are indeed free. So, welcome back to the program here. We've been talking, if you've been with us, if not, you're just tuning in, we've been talking about this competing and conflicting agendas between the globalists and the nationalists, and what is indeed going on. Right here in America, we've got a lot of conflict going on. These folks embedded in politics and in education and business here in the United States who are of more of a socialistic and globalist worldview are all upset at this current president, Donald Trump, in what he's doing. They can't, for the life of them, figure out what this guy is doing. And consequently, it's turned into quite a circus. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of clowns starring in key roles saying all kinds of outrageous things. I mean, rude statements. They're statements that are insulting statements, statements that you would never think people of this level of management, level of leadership in politics or in business would be saying these things. But they do. Even the president, as a matter of fact, is known to be using his own Twitter account, followed by millions, multiple millions of people, as a lightning rod. Oftentimes he himself actually lays down some statement or some word or does something to get a reaction that causes some kind of response, especially, of all things, from the mainstream media. I mean, they are just livid. They're besides themselves. They're going crazy in trying to figure out how to control this guy, because in their arrogance, let's face it, you know it as well as I do, they're used to controlling the narrative. Whereas this president, if he wants to communicate to his base or his followers or those of his ilk, well, he just goes on his Twitter account. Oh, yeah, that's right. He just goes on his Twitter account and just goes ahead and tweets something to get a reaction from them. And a lot of this, my friends, is due to the fact of the perception that many people have of this president who they think is dismantling the globalists' agenda. Everything that these globalists have been building for the last 30, 40, 50, or 60 years, they perceive he's dismantling. Why, how dare he establish a more assertive America on the world scene? That's outrageous. That's just not acceptable. They're used to a more accommodating, a more appeasing America, a gentler America. I mean, for America To expect some kind of reciprocal action from me back to them? Why, that's unheard of. Why, we're entitled to access the United States' riches and wealth without any payback. And needless to say, a lot of people are really bothered by this. There's a lot of fires, needless to say, as a result of this, in the fire. And this president seems to welcome these kinds of controversies. He almost seems to invite a fight over the issues. I mean, it wasn't, you remember this, more than what, 3 months into his administration, he flew airplanes into Syria and took out, as a matter of fact, an Air Force base that allegedly was targeted as the staging location for the chemical weapons that Assad used on his people. This president didn't talk about lines in the sand as the former president did. He just went over there and with 59 Tomahawk missiles just blew the daylights out of this particular Air Force base. China, he slapped a $60 billion tariff. That's right, $60 billion tariff on Chinese goods coming into the United States. And China kicked back with a gentle, of all things, a gentle kickback of $5 billion. That's right, $5 billion on American products. I mean, what is that all about? That's really curious. I mean, here you get hit with a 2x4, $60 billion of tariffs on your products, and you just push back with just $5 billion of tariffs. And North Korea, you know it as well as I do. Well, at the time of this recording of this particular program, they're standing down. They're hoping to try to figure out how they can negotiate themselves out of the corner that they've painted themselves into. And here recently, we know that John Bolton, of all things, known as a war hawk, he himself has been hired on as the National Security Advisor, and many have claimed that the reason being is because Iran is up next on their nuclear warhead program or nuclear weapons program to take it down. And then on treaties, President Trump has completely cut off the UN Framework Convention of Climate Change, known as the UNFCCC. Oh yeah, it's been defunded by the United States of America, as was also the UN Green Climate Fund. It too was defunded because this president just does not agree with the globalists' perception that the world is being victimized by human wastes and consequently the ozone is being damaged by the human factor. Oh no, so in his departure of defunding some of these particular trade or tariff treaties, that is treaties, he himself has gone ahead and cut the tether on the Paris Agreement too, and trade, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, that immediately was defunded as well some few months into his administration, as well as Article 5 from NATO, which affirms mutual protection of the nations in the NATO alliance, because he wants them to pay their fair share. That's right. He wants America to be paid the 2 or 3% that these nations agreed to pay in contract, but have never paid because the presidents of the United States previous never forced these particular nations to go ahead and pay their particular bills that necessitated America's involvement in protecting them. Now, we've been talking a lot about the international aspect, but right here in the United States, we find ourselves, oh yes we do, my friends, we find ourselves in a very politicized environment, an environment that is polarizing the American people within the political arenas as well as the business arenas, and in addition, as well as the educational reasons. Oh yeah, my friends, there are polarizations going on in all of the segments, it seems, of American society, and we find ourselves, even in this most recent passing of this omnibus bill, having that illustrated back to us. Oh yeah, my friends, this bill, let me remind all of us, was a bill that many people thought the president would not sign simply because it did not reflect his policies. And the size of it. It is the largest bill budget ever passed in the history of the United States. $1.3 trillion. That's with a T, my friends. $1 trillion budget was passed here by the Senate and Congress. Amazing. Just amazing. But I'll tell you something. You know what got my attention? Oh, yeah. What got my attention? I don't know if it got yours, but it got mine. 715, maybe 720 billion of this $1.3 trillion budget is actually devoted to military expenditures. That's right. That makes up the 715, 720 billion dollars of that 1.3 trillion makes up the defense budget. That's more than half of the whole omnibus bill. And I can't help but to think, it draws me to a question. Why? Why do you think that is? Is it for the purpose of negotiating from strength? I mean, we know the world is indeed a dangerous place. And yes, that's a plausible, very plausible thought, a very plausible possibility. That it is indeed for that reason. But I can't help but to think that somehow, in an indirect kind of stealth way, this president of the United States of America is preparing for war. 700 plus billion dollars, my friend, is not chump change. A lot of bombs, a lot of bullets, a lot of nuclear weapons, submarines, aircraft carriers, jet airplanes, and even men, soldiers, are indeed able to be bought with a lot of money along those lines. So why? Why such a priority on a military budget? Well, my friends, turn with me over here to Matthew chapter 24. I am already there for the sake of time, but I want to go ahead and bring your attention here to Matthew 24, where Jesus, talking to his disciples in regards to a question they posed to him pertaining to the latter days, the last days. And Jesus says this, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Verse 5, now this is 24 verse 5 of the book of Matthew. "Many shall come in my name, saying I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet." Notice this now. "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places." Now turn with me real quickly over here to Luke. Luke chapter 21 has an interesting add-on to this. I'm not going to repeat what Luke's take is on what Matthew just said, because Luke does, by the way, repeat what we just read in Matthew. But dropping down here in Luke chapter 21 and in verse 20, I want to point this out to you. Notice, he says here, "And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with the armies, then know the desolation is near thereof. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains." So here's the issue. If you and when, it's not a matter of if, it's when you see Palestine, Judea, circled with armies, if you're there, get out of there. Get moving. Move as quickly as you can. Don't hesitate. Don't even, it says later on, look back. And it goes on further here and says this. It says, "And those that are in other nations, don't go in." In other words, if you're in the United States, if you're in Canada, if you're over in Hawaii or down in the Polynesia, or over in Australia or New Zealand, if you're in Indonesia or in the Philippines, don't go to the Middle East. Even if you're in Europe, don't go to the Middle East. That's what your Bible says. There's no place of safety in the Middle East when your Bible is telling you that when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, that you're going to go there for protection. No, logic tells you stay out of there. And notice this, because this is a time of great trouble, a time like no other time before, and of which Jesus is very clearly stating, this is the end time, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by these armies. And Daniel purports the fact and states a very clear, plain statement in Daniel 11, that there's going to be a king in the end, the king of the north, in the end, that's going to invade and occupy the Middle East. And those nations that are involved and peoples that are there, and that's what we're reading right here, my friends, that's connected to Daniel 11. You need to get out of there, and those of you who are not in that area, don't go there. Notice, it says here in verse 24, they shall fall by the edge of the sword. They shall be led away in captives, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. What's that? What is that? Turn with me over here to Micah. This is a prophet that spoke to the northern 10 tribes of Israel. Israel at the time was divided into two kingdoms, the north and the south, Judah to the south, Israel to the north. That's right, the north kingdom was just called Israel, even though they were all the tribes of Israel. They were being invaded at the time of this writing, when Micah was writing. Let me put you in his time context. When Micah was writing this, they were being invaded by the Assyrians, and they were actually under siege. And this was no time to be talking about them, that is Israel, the Jacob tribe of Jacob, to be king of the mountain, to be basically king of the jungle. And yet, for some reason, this particular prophet, Micah, extends into and morphs into a prophecy in chapter 5 of the book of Micah. And we pick it up in verse 7, where he claims, now keep in mind, he's surrounded by a siege of Assyrian savages that are filleting human beings alive, raping and pillaging their cities. That's what Micah's time frame, his timeline is. Yet he's going to say this. Notice, in verse 7 of Micah 5, he states, "And a remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many peoples as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarry not for man, nor wait for the sons of men." What? What is that? He goes on, "And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the forest." What? They're being taken captive. They're being beat up. They're being hauled off as POWs up into the Assyrian Empire. This is nothing like what is happening here, and yet Micah, of all things, is stating these kinds of conditions. He even says that this Jacob, this remnant of Jacob, is going to be like a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if it goes through and both treads down and tears in pieces and none can deliver. His hand shall be lifted up upon his adversaries, and all his enemies shall be cut off. What you're reading here, my friends, is a description of an Israel in the latter days that would emerge on the world scene and be the king of the jungle of community of nations on planet Earth, and at some point would be wealthy, powerful. Militarily, they could have their way with any nation of the world if indeed they chose to do so. At the same time, they could be gentle, like with flocks of sheep, and be very charitable in their giving and sharing of their wealth. Now, if that's all there was, this prophecy would be very apropos, and I would be very happy, and I think you would be too. But notice what remains. After this remnant of Jacob achieves this kind of stature, this kind of status in the world and on the world scene among the Gentile nations, at some point, that nation is going to be knocked off its pedestal. Notice verse 10, Micah 5. "And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, I will cut off your horses out of the midst of you, and I will destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down your strongholds. I will cut off your witchcrafts out of your hand, and you shall have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and your standing images, statues, out of the midst of you. And you shall no more worship the work of your hands. I will pluck up the groves of the midst of you. So will I destroy your cities. And later on, he states, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. And yes, my friends, that is so true. Yes, it is so true that God will, when Jesus returns, take vengeance on those nations that did these things to his birthrighted cultures. My friends, the Apostle Paul has a warning for all of us over here in the book of Romans and in chapter 13. I want to just bring your attention real quickly to this particular portion of Scripture where the Apostle Paul says, look, in this case where he states very, very clearly and to be warned and states, and that knowing the time that now is high time, awake out of sleep. Stop taking red pills. Stop taking blue pills. And he says, for now your salvation is nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of God. My friends, it's time to get your life right with God, with Jesus Christ. Time's run out on me. Get now these free offers that we're offering you. Dial 888-578-8791 and subscribe to that quarterly flagship publication, The International News. And don't forget about that 1 hour presentation before a live audience titled Amos, not Micah, Amos, an ancient messenger for North America. Both of these free offers are for the enhancement of your edification. My friends, this is Bill Watson. You've got to get these free offers. There's so much more to talk about. But the main thing is, if you get anything out of this presentation, it is time to get your life right with Jesus Christ, because the times, they are upon us. This is Bill Watson reminding all of you, you suit up with that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.